on 6PR Breakfast. It's time for sport with Kim Hagdon.
Hags is here, 4.2 degrees. Jesse Hogan playing better footy.
I hope we get to it. Yeah, there's a lot to skim through and touch on everything as much as we can. Jesse Hogan, wanted to touch on him yesterday because I think after his best game with Fremantle since coming across on Saturday, he was among their best players, I thought. Massive scrutiny this week, isn't it, going back against the team that he left. Now, ironically, Hogan gets let go to Fremantle for Fremantle to look to now exploit the 17th ranked scoring team in the competition. So this is again another factor, and I just wanted to touch on it. Yes, they didn't get to it, but a big week for Jesse Hogan, and thankfully on the back of his best game and starting to grow and feel his way with the team.
So, Hags, what you're saying right now, Melbourne are going, why did we let Jesse Hogan go?
No, no, they seem quite comfortable that they let him go.
Well, they're comfortable.
However,
out of the finals,
he will confront probably the main bloke that they swapped Hogan to get a draft pick for in Stephen May on Saturday, and perhaps even the likes of Jake Lever, who's a recruit for Melbourne as well. So massive scrutiny on Jesse Hogan, and timely that he takes some form to that game. Harley Bennell becomes a big story today and tomorrow, I reckon, whether Fremantle are going to rush him in again to try and exploit further Melbourne's inability to defend. I mean, they're the 17th ranked scoring team and they're the 17th ranked defensive team.
Would you throw him in?
No, not at the MCG. I'd give him for a home game the following week. Now, you guys touched yesterday on Rory Lobb.
Yes.
It emerged to me yesterday that he is better than expected. 4 to 6 weeks, perhaps, out of the game
that's
now.
That's right.
And that it is, because things are growing for Fremantle. And ultimately, if Sean Darcy holds his form and Rory Lobb goes back and plays as a forward, it's another string to their bow. Look, quickly on AFL trading. Now, I know a lot are saying, and even the likes of Alistair Clarkson saying, well, trading at this time of the year doesn't happen. It happens in October. But I can assure everybody that it is rife. It is on in earnest throughout the AFL, jockeying and bargaining, particularly here in the two clubs in Perth, to try to work their salary caps, work their player list for the assaults on Tim Kelly out of Geelong to come home, or Stephen Cornelio. I think Stephen Cornelio from the GWS is more likely to head into Victoria if he leaves the Greater Western Sydney. But West Coast and Fremantle, both with salary cap troubles. West Coast, as I understand it, are pretty keen to get some commitment from Andrew Gaff. Now, I reckon I'm probably about the only person in the country who keeps saying that Andrew Gaff had a 2-year contract with West Coast when he stayed, and it hasn't been announced anywhere officially how long his contract is.
But you said it's
to say I understand he has a 2-year deal with clauses that are his way if he wants to stay for a third or fourth or fifth year at West Coast, very similar, if not almost identical, to what Josh Kelly took to stay at GWS. It's a contract stacked his way. But my understanding is that West Coast wants some indication from Andrew. Going to be here beyond 2020. Can we get some commitment? Because
otherwise,
if he's not going to stay, he becomes very handy as a commodity in the wheeling and dealing. One, to juggle your salary cap for money for Tim Kelly. Also, a trade. What do you trade if you use Andrew Gaff at the end of 2019? So I know it's very speculative. It'll be denied because everyone's sort of saying, oh, no, trading doesn't happen this time of year. I can tell you, it is rife behind the scenes in the AFL circles, potential trading.
Is he a better player or not as good as he was before
Andrew
the incident?
Gaff? Yeah. I think he's playing pretty selfish sort of footy, self-indulgent sort of footy. I think he's a receiver. I think he's a quick disposal. When West Coast are playing well, he's playing better. I'm not so sure he's as effective, and maybe they're looking at that with what alternatives they could have in the
future. Let's rattle through a few. Yeah. What will Stratton cop tonight?
Well, I think he has to cop a week at least for the pinching.
Yes.
On Orazio Fantasia,
yes.
Basil.
Well said.
And also, I think he needs to get a week at least for stomping on Sean McKernan's foot. So there's that potential to cause injury.
Not a good few days for Gillon McLachlan.
Shocker. And now he does a media conference today. And it can't just be about a plea to the fans to support him and his administration on the behavioural policies that they ridiculously and radically introduced over the weekend. Questions have to be asked of Gillon McLachlan about the ridiculous score review system. That needs massive overhaul. And also the match review officer. We need some consistency with that. The women's soccer, big one tonight, 3 a.m. tomorrow morning. They should win. Should easily beat Jamaica, but have to clean up their defence. They've had goals scored against them too much in the last two games. They should win and stay in the race. And also, Marcus Stoinis has bowled just lightly overnight in England in the World Cup lead-up. Big, massive crunch day tomorrow. Has to bowl at full pace tomorrow, or Australia will make a call before the match against Bangladesh what they do with Marcus Stoinis or Mitch Marsh into the squad.
Blues or Queensland?
There's questions being asked about New South Wales selections policy. It'll be interesting to see what happens over the course of the week.
More on that later. 8 o'clock.